to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and in the future as well. Amen.
We have roll call.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
President Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Morris.
Here.
Ms. Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Mayor Yoakum.
Here.
Mr. Mayor, I have one addition to the agenda, and that is under old business. We have ordinance 43-2014 in reference to bicycles. That's inadvertently left off the agenda. So with the addition of that to our agenda, I move that it be approved.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to adopt the agenda as amended.
Call question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
The agenda is adopted by a vote of 7-0. The approval of minutes of the February 9th meeting.
I move we approve those minutes.
Second. Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to approve the February 9th meeting minutes as presented.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And those were approved by President 7-0. Next is petitions, memorials, and monuments.
Actually, I have one. Vincennes Writing Group just published an anthology entitled Odell Stories. So we have seven new published authors here in Vincennes. Can't think of all their names off the top of my head, so I won't even try. But if you're interested in the group, they meet at the Open Gallery on a lot of time, or at Burger King on Tuesday evenings.
Mr. Mayor, we should note the passing of Jane Frizzy on February 11th. She was a longtime secretary in the city inspector's office. One additional item, I encourage everyone to come out to Vincennes University Shirtless Theater Saturday at 9 a.m. See Literacy Quiz Bowl. I understand that the council and Sebring will dazzle us with the trivia knowledge, and it's always a fun event that raises funds for the Knox County Literacy Program. So good luck.
If not, we'll move to committee chair reports.
I attended the meeting this morning for solid waste, and they're going to give a program this evening. Are they here? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. So there. Okay.
We're going to be meeting to discuss the mayor's recommendation and budget adjustments. So is there any days setting next week that anybody has a preference? I'll just get with you.
Just so you know, employees are waiting to hear about their raises.
Right.
Any other reports? Report of city officers. And that will do the whole business. Ordinance 43-2014. We
Mayor, I move we have a third and final reading of amended ordinance 43-2014.
Motion by President Bratton, second by Councilman Simmons, that third and final reading of ordinance 43-2014.
Ordinance 43-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, amending ordinance section 73.20, riding on sidewalks by amending sections A, B, and C, containing sections 1 and 2. The amendment was to delineate the central business district banning spikes on sidewalks from 2nd and Main to 6th and Main.
Any discussion?
Only discussion is the notes that, spelling the word amended at the top of the ordinance, but that doesn't have to be named up, so. Getting ready for the trivia contest. Sharp eye. But other than that, I.
I would vote no.
Hearing none, I call for a question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
No.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And third and final reading of ordinance 43-2014, passed at 6:21. There's one new business. First up is Tracy Clinton, Director of Non-Kansas Solid Waste Management.
Good evening, I'm Tracy Clinton, Director of Non-Kansas Solid Waste. Shirley asked for us to attend. Michelle Smith also wanted me, she's our education coordinator. One thing I told her I could share is we prepared our year-end totals, everything the district had done as far as recycling, also how to replace, as far as electronics, our tire collection, our programs, and then also some numbers of the groups of students and adult groups that Michelle had given her education programs to last year. Any questions on those? I didn't have the numbers from 2015 and 2012, so you can see how much things have changed and progressed over the past couple of years.
Why don't you refresh your mind on how you get your income and how your department really works?
Okay, back in 1990, the state mandated that all counties were to have a solid waste management district. Knox County finally formed theirs with ordinance resolution in 1993. We were funded by a tipping fee. Each county had the choice of how they want to fund their districts, but we basically are state offices that were mandated by the state, but we all ran like county offices. And so in 1993, the district determined that ours would be more of a facilitator district. Some districts are set up and they actually do recycling, they have trucks and trailers and actually process all the recycling, which Vincennes had set up their own, so that was a plus, was here in Vincennes at the time. But Knox County decided to make ours more of a facilitator. We write grants, we help Vincennes with whatever needs they have for recycling, and also pick those permanent. Then we have the trailers throughout the county to provide recycling for that. In 1996, the landfill closed, that's how we were originally funded, was through tipping fees at landfill. And then the landfill closed in 96, so then we were just in the regular county general budget. And then in 2001, the county council decided that they wanted us to find our own funding. So the district decided, had to help public hearings and wrote ordinance in that they would pass a user fee, which is based on households, apartments, offices, hospital, and the university are done a little different, they're done by buildings, but it was imposed then that a $15 a year fee would be $7.50 on spring taxes, $7.50 on fall taxes. So it gave $15 for the year imposed on each household in Knox County, and that's how the user fee then was created, and that was implemented in 2003 on the first tax bill. We use the tax bill as our billing agent. Some districts, there are approximately six in the state state that also you have mandated user fees instead of tipping fees at landfills. There is one district that still does the billing and everything themselves, which they have found is a nightmare, so they're going to go to using the tax bill also as we do, because then the treasurer's office acts as our collection agency and just helps things go a lot smoother. And so then, of course, the user fee then is to maintain the district to do our thing that we're on our mission statement that we provide for the county.
Does the e-waste total, does that include the university's?
No, that's just only what we've collected and processed and shipped out.
I think we had two semi-loads in the past year.
Probably.
An increase every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep thinking one day that's got to slow down, but it's not. No, electronic waste just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Questions? Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is ordinance 2015, designating economic development target area, Paul Yelcho, much per mile.
Mayor, move we have first reading of ordinance 2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rhodes, to have first reading of ordinance 2015.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Ordinance 2-2015, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, designating an economic development target area, omitting formal parks containing sections 1 through 3. The Redevelopment Commission passed a resolution at their last meeting last Thursday recommending that the council take this action.
Discussion.
Representative to speak for the petition.
Mr. Chapman, I'm Ed Cummings. I'm here to speak. I'm here on behalf of my clients, Paul and John Yelcho, as well as their wife and mother, Adrian, who are the owners of this property through PA and J Real Estate LLC. They're also owners of West Carolina. I submitted a petition to you and provided, in addition to the ordinance, a proposed resolution, a declaratory resolution. I'd like to say that the council's and mayor's indulgence, I'll just go through this a little bit with you, because there's a number of pages, the abatement statute, slightly changed. I'd like to go through that with you if I could. As was mentioned, this process started by purchasing some property, and that property is close to Paul's property, and I suspect this council knows where it is very well. But I did want to say to you, as you have said to the Economic Development Commission, here's a map. I'm going to just point this to you and pass it down. But this was an attachment to a resolution that this council adopted in 2007. It was actually Exhibit C in 2007. And what it did was it designated an area as an economic revitalization area, having been declared a target area. And so what we're doing, in a way, is kind of following the footsteps of Coles. And I guess what I wanted to show you was that this plat, this exhibit, I call it C, it's actually A, shows a much larger area than what we're talking about. The area that the Yelchos had purchased, I would say, is to the north, or toward the city, the land called Ray Piper Land, and then Finneman and Brown Partnership. The large property here is not owned by us, but our property is about a little over 10 acres. I thought it was interesting the fact that Kohl's, you know, is not there. That's where we actually want to go, Westport Auto. But interestingly, that spot was exactly where they wanted to build. There was at least thought about it at that time. Now, that resolution was adopted, but was only effective for 6 years. So we're back asking this council again to determine that this is a target area and an economic revitalization area. What we think, what we hope you all know, is we thought, I think the council back then thought, that Kohl's would spur growth in this area, but it hasn't yet. And so that the area is, other than Kohl's property, has not developed. We're hoping that that will change now, and we're asking for your help in that regard. All right, now. So that's the background of this property. 10 acres, not a much larger tract, but still a significant tract. Now that the recommendation has been made, we're asking you to confirm that it is an economic development target area, and that accordingly, my client should be entitled to benefits, something like Kohl's was entitled to a number of years ago. If you'll bear with me, I would really like to go through this petition that I filed a little bit. I appreciate your indulgence, but I do think there's a number of steps to take. And I guess what I want to say, an overview, is we're going to ask you to take some steps tonight and pass an ordinance and a resolution. Now, this won't be the final time this issue is brought up. If you do that, then we submit a notice to interested parties, including all the taxing entities. We have a public hearing, and then you have to consider to make a final determination. Okay? But tonight's an important night, and we are going to ask you to make a request and determine that we're entitled to not only just to be an economic revitalization area, but also that you'd be entitled to an abatement. I understand that we finalized until the next time we have a hearing, but I would like to say that's what we're going to ask for tonight. Okay, now, so the petition did some of the background that I have already done. Paul and his family intend to build a state-of-the-art automobile dealership there in this area, and we're asking to have this target designation made, and then to have the area determined economic revitalization area. I love all these different terms, talking about the same thing, talking about properties that need to be developed within this community. The expectation is that this would have been done, but it hasn't. And we think now that it can't. Let me say some reasons why we think that it will. We have provided, attached to this, a statement of benefits, and that shows what we're planning to do with the property and how that would benefit this community. This is paragraph number 8. Paul has bought the property for $500,000. He plans on spending approximately $3 million to improve it. That's for his automobile dealership. He has 28 full-time jobs, over 1.4 million in wages. Actually, Paul just told me today that they looked at the end of 2014, and it was very close to $1.5 million. He thinks the new business will cause them to increase their staff by 6 to 10 people, an additional payroll of $350,000. Paul can do this better than me, and he will say a few things when I get done. But as you know, in the last 7 years, he has been from Westport to Vincennes on two different occasions, both times when he's flown down. His business is unique. It's part of this community, but it hasn't been a Vincennes business, and we want it to be a Vincennes business. Stay here, invest in this community. We again go through what we're asking for, the ordinance to be passed. The ordinance passing basically says that this is what you declared it was, what this council declared it was 8 years ago, an economic revitalization day. But we also want you to adopt this ordinance granting us a tax abatement, or restarting that process. Now, let me do this. Let me go to the statement of benefits, which is a document we're going to look at together. And then we've got a part to fill out. You have a part to fill out. I would just like to discuss that with you a little bit. I think we'll be This is Exhibit C, and it's a two-page document, a lot of small print. But if you'll see Section 3, which is a little further down in the center of the page, that provides some of the information that I had previously given. This is the current number of employees, 28. What we thought the total salaries were, we were a little short on that. Of course, we'll keep those employees, keep those salaries, and we'll add addition by this investment that Paul and his family are making. Then underneath that, it talks about real estate improvements. The current value, that's what we paid for the property. That's reasonably close to what it's assessed for, and we're going to put another $3 million on it, so it'll probably be $3.5 million. Now, we'll go to the back side in just a second, but I just want to remind us, when we're talking about an abatement, and the statute, and this makes it very clear, you know, we're talking about an increase. We're talking about an increase. We're not abating. The existing taxes on this property, you look at, we're roughly $17,000. Roughly $17,000. We expect it to be about $100,000 more than that once the building is done and improvements are complete. You don't know exactly what it's going to be. Paul looked at comparable properties, the real estate, the value of the real estate increases, I mean the bare land increases. And then of course our improvements, which we think are about $3 million. So when we talk about an abatement, we're talking about what we think is going to be a potential of approximately $100,000 a year. So we all know how we do real property taxes, we do a year late. Of course, we have buildings yet, although we're starting a little bit of demolition and drainage work. But when that is done, which will be done by next year, that assessment ought to be increased about that amount. That's about that amount of tax dollars, about $100,000 increase. So instead of something like $17,000, be closer to 100%. Okay. Now let's look at the back page, which says for use of designating body. Okay, so it asks the council to fill out a number of categories. And what I'd like to do is kind of say how that's different and how maybe that's the same as before. In the past, what I remembered you pick the category. You pick the 10-year category, you pick the 5-year category. And then there was a kind of a formula as how that would work. And they changed that to say, no, what you really do, you can pick the number of years, that's A. B, it says the type of deduction. Well, this is number one. It's not residential, which is two. It's number one, redevelopment or rehabilitation real estate improvements. That's what it is. And then C, it says the amount of the deduction applicable is limited to a dollar amount. That's a dollar amount you fill in there. If we're right, we could have 100,000 times 10, we could have $1 million. That would be the increase in value that we believe will have in the next, not quite in 10 years, it'd be more like 11 years. But basically, once the building is increased. So we think that's a total amount of potential abatement. You determine the amount, you can put in other conditions, you do the years allowed, and then, that's why I'm asking you to just bear with me with this. Then it goes down and says, for a statement of benefits adopted after June 30, 2013, that's us, did the designating body adopt an abatement schedule? You say yes or no, and then you attach it. And then it says if you didn't, you're supposed to. So we're gonna go through that in just a second, okay? So they're asking you to do some analysis of how this property benefits the community. And if you bear with me, I think what we'll do is look down at the bottom. This, even though it's fine print, this is really the procedure that they ask us or ask you to continue to consider. And I'm just trying to discuss that with you and share with you what you do. Okay, it says, a body may provide to a business that's established in or located in the revitalization area that receives a deduction and abatement schedule based on the following factors. So here's what you do. You look at these factors and you say, are these factors applicable to the business that the Yoakums are bringing? If they are, then they're entitled to abatement, if not, then no. And if they are, what abatement are they entitled to? All right? Number one, the total amount of taxpayers' investment in real personal property. Okay, now, and that's the $3.5 million. Okay. The next one is the number of new full-time equivalent jobs created. Well, I don't know if he'd describe himself as itinerant, but Paul, since 2008, since the flooding, has been back and forth. He's been in Illinois business here, back to Illinois, and then back here again when the flood sent him. So we are saying, not only his existing employees, which are 28, but the 6 to 10 new ones, are all really new jobs. It's certainly a unique circumstance. This is certainly a unique circumstance. You must agree with us on that. Okay, then the next category is the average wage of the new employees compared to the state minimum wage, 7.25. So what I did is I calculated based on the numbers that were provided me. And if you look at Paul's existing wages, they're really around $50,000 for each employee. The wages for minimum wage jobs are $15,000. Now, I would just like to share with you that when Cole came here, and we were all delighted for Cole's to come, their petition said they would have as many as 130 jobs Of course, most of them were part-time. And the 129 additional jobs, total salaries, 1 million. So Paul, with many fewer employees, pays much more in wages. And we'll even have more with this business. And the type of positions are the types we want in this city. People who are not going to be subsidized, who are going to be able to buy things, who are going to be part of the middle class. So those factors are very important. And the fact that these are good paying jobs, and there are many of them, is certainly to our benefit. The last factor to be considered is infrastructure requirements for the taxpayers' investment. Now, Paul, I did want him to speak, and I will guide him away in just a moment. But I want to talk about those infrastructure things just a little bit. As you know, there, if you add Deer House, the Boulevard, which is close to us and some others, there's a significant investment out there. But that investment hasn't brought that area, at least today, to be developed. Now, some important steps have been taken recently by this city administration and by the RDC. Some drainage improvements have been made. Paul told me that those, he thought the number was about $67,000. He added another $37,000 drainage. And that benefits his 10 acres, but it benefits actually that entire area that I showed you there on that map before. That whole area is benefited by that. There's a discussion about a roadway and trading some properties and constructing a roadway. That will be beneficial to us, but we will have access from Hart Street. That roadway specifically was requested by Kohl's, and it will benefit Kohl's as well as Shostak, who owns the property to the south. And we think it will be a benefit to the entire area there. And Paul is trying to help put that through, and he's received very, very good help from the city, and so we're appreciative of that. What I'm trying to suggest is there has been a lot of infrastructure out there, but not really for us. There has been some specifically for us, but the small amount that's being done now compared to the larger amount out there, the benefit to the entire area is vitally important. Paul looked at the value of bare ground, and we expect the bare ground value to significantly increase because of our being there. And so we think that'll benefit the entire area, and certainly will benefit people in terms of tax value. Now, I talk longer, I want Paul to get out. So let me just say this. So we have the ordinance that is proposed. At the back of the ordinance, I had section 3. I did this very much like the Paul's ordinance. The section 3 says, pursuant to the recommendation of the Economic Development Commission, in the city package shall not exceed. We didn't ask them to make a recommendation. They did not make a recommendation. That is certainly something that you do. I've got a clean copy of that with section 3 omitted, or you can strike through it. I understand you're the ones that make the decision. It's the ones who amount it is. So I apologize for making that more complicated. So the other thing I will say is we do have, I have tendered a resolution. I know what you think, I'm getting ahead of myself. I just want to talk about all these things while we're doing it. I also proposed, submitted a proposed resolution. That resolution is what I was talking about, is not a final document. That's the resolution that we discussed, the tax abatement, actually put in the map. Actually put in the map, that's on page 3. Copy of it, says, I know all these look a little bit alike, but this says resolution at the top. If you look at the top of page 3, you'll see some blanks. And that is some of those numbers, of the numbers to be inserted. Basically, the number of years, the total benefit not to exceed a certain amount. Now, this would be a document that we're asking you to approve, fill in the amount, and then we will then, after that happens, then there's this public notice, we have a public hearing, and then you make the final decision about that issue. You know, I've thought a lot today about trying to make this better than me just giving all these facts. I want to make this somewhat understandable. The state, in their infinite wisdom in doing this, has decided to come up with these different names and calls because of the type of business it was. It had to first be determined that it was in an economic target zone. And then once it got that designation, then it becomes part of this economic revitalization. I'm sorry, we're in that same group, and so we have the same procedure. So we're asking you to declare us to be in the target zone. That's an economic development revitalization area. I don't think there's any question. I mean, that's your decision. But I think that one's a clear-cut one. And then once you're in that, then you're eligible to have this tax abatement. Okay. So that's kind of how we get there, and that's how we kind of combine together. And tonight's a real important night, and I want to try to make it clear. I want Paul to be able to get up here, but is there any questions, just technical questions about what these documents mean, and what should happen, and what shouldn't happen?
Well, procedurally, if I understand correctly, you're saying that you're recommending that we adopt this on first reading, then it triggers the public hearing. And then following the public hearing and further analysis of all the figures, it would come back to us for either second or third reading. The council would fill in these blanks based on what is discovered through that public hearing process. That's correct. And we don't have the blanks filled in tonight.
I would say this. We're talking about two different documents. I believe this ordinance, I'd certainly like, I think it'd be appropriate to have it passed. I understand all of this is subject to the public hearing and that determination. There's just no question about it. The ordinance is really just declaring a target. That's all that is. The resolution, I believe this resolution has to be passed. I would defer to Councilor Wilder. What's going to happen is there's going to be a publication and a public hearing. Okay? I believe it would be appropriate to have the amounts completed. We understand they can be changed. Now, I actually have that statute, which I read until I was blue in the face. But when you do this, I mean, I don't disagree, Mr. Chapman, with how you're characterizing it. They do it a little differently. But they say, the designated body shall file the information required in subdivision 2. And that's these numbers. with the officers of the taxing unit who authorized the fixed budget. So when we get this notice, not only do we publish it, but we send it to the auditor, the school, the library, you know, all over the place. And then we come back and it says the designated body shall take final action to determine whether the qualifications for economic revitalization have been met and confirming, modifying, and confirming or rescinding the resolution. So I read that to mean that you've adopted what is a tentative amount. And then you have a hearing and make a final determination.
So, are you saying we are asked to adopt the ordinance and then separately the resolution?
Yes.
We don't have the resolution on the document.
The resolution was submitted along with the petition and the ordinance.
My guess is, they thought it was the same thing twice, because to a casual observer, it looks like the same thing twice. The only distinction is one's called a resolution and the other's an ordinance, but it's not on the agenda. You could amend your, you could add it to the agenda, I suppose, but I don't know, Ed, if that's critical. You got to come back anyway for the ordinance, unless you pass the ordinance tonight in one meeting. You got to come back for the second.
Not that, but we can't, because this just triggers the public hearing, so we can't. We're not being asked to do the final reading tonight anyway, as I understand it. So, and since it can be amended on second or third reading.
That's the ordinance. The resolution's one reading. One meeting, one reading.
Yeah.
But I think normally that wouldn't, I think the petitioner would put in those numbers.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, we can certainly put in numbers.
See, the point being that you really don't have any way to know. Like you could, your numbers are just numbers. If you agree with this, that they know what they want. Any petitioner, not just this, and that most of them would come in and say, this is the most we can get, pass this resolution, have a hearing, and then you just vote it up or down after the public hearing, which could be anywhere from 100% of what they asked for to no abatement. So this just triggers the, and Ed studied this very carefully, I think this just triggers the period for public comment and the council's study, but I think it would be difficult to put a number in there if the resolution were added and passed tonight, which I think is what Ed wants to start the time frame for the public hearing.
It is. And I mean, that was done with calls, and I understand, you know, you do different things. But as I've said to you, the $100,000 a year can be. So that would be, that's what we could be entitled to in a big, that's our, and that's based on nothing that isn't in front of you, because that's based on the amount that right now is how that property's valued, how much should go up with the expected cost of what it is. So if that's the case, then I would like to have your agenda at least so we can consider this resolution that I didn't realize wasn't on your agenda.
Well, so for the sake of consideration, I'm not quite exactly sure how that would be worded. Are you suggesting that we could have an amendment to say that the resolution is incorporated into ordinance 2-2015?
Well, this is actually, if you go back up to the adoption of the agenda, this is really no different than old business 43-2014. I think it was inadvertently omitted.
because we don't do this very often, and it came in, in the same packet, I think, is how that was received. And if you didn't go through these 20 or 30 pages, you could easily overlook. And they provided copies of, to me, and they also have resolutions for the RDC and resolutions for you and ordinance for you. So I think that may be why it got left off, but I don't do the agendas, so.
Do we know what the next available resolution number is?
Ed, I got a question for you. On the tax abatement, it's a, in essence, it's 100% the first year, 7 years, 90, 80, 70, on down.
That's what I was trying to say, Scott. They've just changed. It's no longer that way. You can set it how you want. You can make it 100% for 10 years. You can make it 100% for 5 years. You can make it 50% for 10 years. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It is good. No, I know. I was
confused. We're using the 98.
I understand. Reworked it. Reworked it.
So that's when you have to put, the figures down of what actually.
Well, hey, we're happy to do it. What we're saying is, our best information, it would be around $100,000 each year. So what we could have, what we could be abated would be 10 years. That's what a total abate, that would be the increase in value that we think will occur.
What about?
One or two, isn't it?
Throwing this out, what about?
I don't think we've done any resolutions.
2015, first reading, refer to committee and get these numbers stuck in it. Bring it back on the second reading, and then we'll have all of it put together. And at that point, unless we need to do something with resolution, I could be.
Pretty sure it's resolution one if you want to do something.
Is it resolution one?
Resolution one, two, three.
I mean, I would be open I don't know that we can pass resolution one because we don't have numbers in it. So, we can have it procedurally give us a way forward, but then we adopt first reading, refer to committee, try to get these numbers put in how we want them. Bring it back at the next meeting. And then the resolution, then, at that meeting, would be on the agenda to, you know, for our consideration.
In a sense, just resubmit the resolution.
So we can vote on the ordinance tonight?
So we could vote on the ordinance and move it forward. That would seem to be.
Okay. What I want to say is, it's my belief that there's going to be two resolutions. Okay, you haven't seen one. The first one is this declarative, which is what we're talking about, kind of like a tentative resolution. When that is passed, then we give notice, because then we have figures for everyone to see. We give notice, and then after that, we have a public hearing, and then you do what Dave and I are talking about. You do a final, which is called confirmatory resolution. And that resolution is to either confirm the numbers you put in or to modify them. And that's the final decision. So what I'm trying to do with you is have this dialogue is to how many meetings we're going to have, and that's why I think, because if we don't adopt the resolution tonight, and that's your decision, it's not mine, but I'm just saying that I don't think there's anything to publish yet, because there isn't anything to give to them to say, here's what it's going to be, here's the amount.
Well, then, the only way forward I can see is that someone would have to make a motion to add Resolution 1, 2015, to the agenda. Once that's added to the agenda, then we can discuss it, and people have to add, fill in the blanks, to do that. The only way we could pass it tonight, that I can see, is these blanks have to be filled in. The resolution is adopted on first reading. I mean...
It's doable if they want to change their agenda.
So, I'll be honest, I'm not really comfortable with voting on the resolution tonight with those numbers in there. I want more time to see those numbers actually come out and come onto the paper. Not saying I'm against, I'm quite in favor of this, but I just want a little more time when we're dealing with six figures. So, thank you.
And I wanted to, for you to explain again, when you say publish the numbers, what was that about again?
The tax, before final determination is made, we have notice in the public here, and that's not what we're having tonight, we all agree. But what we do is we give notice to all the taxing authorities of what this proposed resolution is with the abatement, okay? And so once that first resolution, what's called declaratory, we declare this to be, but we haven't confirmed it. So that's what this discussion is. Because I understand the process. I understand it's a lot of paper. They all look alike. They look very similar. But those taxing authorities need to have that notice, and they need to know not just that it's a target zone for an economic revitalization zone, but surely, as you know, not everybody here knows. Well, yeah, we know that it is. What they need to know is what are the proposed abatement numbers in case they want to comment, say, yeah, that's great, or no, or something else. So that's why I'm saying I think we have to put numbers in here and then publish it so everyone will know what we're considering.
Well, let me suggest another alternative. That is, what about if we skipped over this temporarily on our agenda, moved to conduct other business, and have our esteemed attorney gather in the next room and fill in the blanks, because I just don't think we can move forward with blanks in this resolution. Now, whether the council wants to move forward at that point or not, I don't know, but I think we need numbers in here. So if you could put your heads together, we can come back to this at the end of the agenda, and that way, because I know we've got some important business waiting, and I just want to make sure it gets the consideration it deserves, but I don't know that we can do much with it in its current condition. Now, there's just a few blanks to fill in. Once we have the blanks filled in, then we have something we can discuss. Does that make any sense?
And even if the blanks are filled in, I mean, it's, you know, we can change those as we go along through the process, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can put $20
right
on it, then after the public hearing, we can...
Yeah,
isn't that right? This is the first step in the multi-step process. So if in the hearings and so forth, something would come up, we could come back and amend. It's not final at that point.
Well, after the public hearing, you confirm, modify, or rescind.
Okay. So that would give us what Councilman Chan's asked for, would give us a little bit of time to put something together while we deal with the other business. To just have something tentatively, just basically a rough draft.
Just a mark on the wall to give notice to the taxing authorities whose incremental tax increase may be affected by whatever you do next.
Well, that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is we can sit here and fill in the numbers.
That's fine.
I feel a little bit more comfortable if you two just got together and fill in the blank, bring it back to us.
Ed has the numbers.
He has the numbers. Well, then let's have the numbers. And that's...
So if...
Do,
if you want to...
For the sake of argument, though, do we want to finally get this on the agenda? This resolution is not on the agenda yet. So can we have at least a resolution to get it on the agenda, then we can fill in the blanks, and then we can deal with it? So I would make a motion that we add Resolution 1, 2015, to the agenda. We've got a copy of it. All we need to do is add the number 1.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Salters, to add Resolution 1, 2015. To the agenda. Any discussion?
I guess it would be added to the... 4-1-2-2015. Related? Be fair to the board?
Yes.
Be like items.
Probably was after.
After it? So B2 would be the number for Resolution Number 1. Okay. Call the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 1, 2015, will be added as B2 to the agenda by vote of 7 to 2.
As I understand it, where we are at this point in the agenda, so we just need to, I guess, get recommendations on these blanks at this point. Phase 3.
No, we haven't done the...
I mean, I can make the recommendation. I mean, we can put in the maximum amount, which we believe 10 years, million dollars.
You're recommending 10 years not to exceed $1 million? He's making a recommendation. It actually takes a council member to make a motion.
I mean, I can make that today, God.
I'll make a motion to the abatement, 10-year, $1 million.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Salters for Sebring to add those figures, the 10-year, $1 million figures to Resolution 1, 2015. Second by Councilman Salters.
And does that other line below that that says does not, and in the event...
It doesn't matter if you give us 10 years, that's all we can get anyways.
But then those other two blanks don't matter? It's not receiving maximum, so that's irrelevant? Okay.
No. You understand why I'm saying it's irrelevant? I mean, if you give us an amount that we can't get within 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, then we would need language like that. That's why Cole's had, because they wanted to front load theirs, and they had 6 years. But if we're saying 10 years, that's all you get anyways.
So in other words, we would just put a period after $1 million and strike out the next three lines?
That's exactly right.
Okay, all right.
And ideally, it could pay out in shorter. If the assessments were, you could recapture that in less than 10 years.
Okay.
He's saying if the assessment is actually higher, and we got more than $100,000, then we get more than $100,000 first year, so we run out before the last year.
It's still fair to strike out those last three lines.
It is.
Yeah, they are, I agree, those would be irrelevant.
All right, they're irrelevant. So is that part of your motion, to strike those three lines? We're amending those figures in, what we're doing at this point. For the resolution, call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And that passes by vote of 7-0.
Now, procedurally, that was the vote to amend this resolution. Now, would be in order to adopt this resolution, is that correct?
I don't think we ever voted on ordinance two.
Now you need to go back. First reading of ordinance.
I kind of remember reading that, but I don't think we voted on it.
Okay, we have adopted this resolution, need all done.
It is not adopted, it's just all, it's primed.
I'll make sure we're all set.
So we need to go back to ordinance 2015.
Which has been read, moved, and seconded, I think.
That has been moved and seconded already.
And this is all under that discussion. Any other discussion?
Call for question, whatever it is we're voting on.
Ordinance two.
Voting on ordinance two, 2015.
This is on the designated area of target.
I was venting my frustration.
This is the art, that's right.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
First reading of ordinance two, 2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Now we're going to move to two, which is the resolution.
We approve resolution one, 2015.
That is subject to a public hearing.
That is subject to the public hearing, which is outlined in that resolution, actually.
Then mouse can be amended.
So in a nutshell, we've started the process, we've got the ability to change anything that we want, and anything we feel needs to be changed once we get more specific numbers, but now the process has started, and we can get along and go forward with this. Just want to try to clarify any kind of mud that we're kind of in right now.
I've got a motion on resolution one, same.
Motion.
Motion by President Chapman, sent by Councilman Rose, to pass resolution one, 2015. Read.
I'll read it, Judge. Pass my bid thing. Resolution number one, 2015, a declaratory resolution for the designation of economic revitalization area application of Paul Yocum on behalf of PA&J Real Estate LLC and Westport Auto Sales, Inc. The maximum amount would be an abatement of over 10 years, not to exceed $1 million, subject to the public hearing as contemplated by statute, at which time this resolution is passed could be confirmed, modified, or rescinded. So this is by no means a passing of a tax abatement on one meeting.
Now, call for question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And resolution one, 2015 passes by a vote of 7-0.
That's sufficient to get everything triggered, right?
Thank you.
There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work, Paul.
Thank you.
I don't know, but you spent a lot of my money up there a while ago.
Sorry about that.
Then we just spent $100,000. Million bucks.
Train of Don Orton map, 802 Deacon Road, Robert Wood.
Mayor, we have first reading ordinance 2015, referred to the area plan commission.
Second. Motion by President Chapman, sent by Councilman Sebring, to have first reading of ordinance 3-2015.
Ordinance 3-2015, an ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3, and in a nutshell, they would like to go from R1, the current designation, to C1.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Katie Cotter. I'm here on behalf of Petitioners Rack Properties LLC. It's for the air conditioning with Robert Laygrave for rezone property located at 802 Old Wheatland Road from R1 to C1. Basically, this property was previously used as single farm and is presently used as a single-family residential rental real estate. There's a purchase agreement in place between the parties, which is contingent upon them receiving the rezoning. Their intent is to build a commercial property there. The proposed tenant at this time is going to be Kemper CPA Group. There is a rendering, I think, showing what the property is going to look like. Right next to Creole Lane, several of the other properties around it, Creole Lane, PCARC, or Zone C, or Zone Commercial Properties.
I think area plan meets March 3.
Yes.
That'll be heard in the...
So basically, we're just asking to see pass first reading and refer to area plan for further consideration.
Hearing.
But there'll be a public hearing, yes. And that's already been published in the paper. That hearing will be on March 3rd.
There's no further question. I go over the question.
Yes, I was just writing down the public hearing that I'm supposed to have on the third here, so bear with me, gentlemen. Please.
Okay.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And first reading orders 3.15 passes by a vote of 7 to 0.
Thank you.
Next is ordinance 4-2015, additional appropriation request and edit in the amount of $196,983.96 and $56,845.71 from local road and street.
All right, we have first reading ordinance 4-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 4-2015.
Ordinance 4-2015, an ordinance for an additional appropriation from edit in the amount of $196,983.96 and from local road and street fund, $56,845.71. Sections 1 and 2.
Discussion.
And I understand this triggers a public hearing at the next council meeting.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, this is the paid final payments on last year. The reason they weren't paid sooner is because they were higher than this and the city engine they work with. Not only the price down what we thought it should be. So that's why it's just not going to be.
Sounds like a good reason to me. We can get a lower price.
Hearing no further discussion, I call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And that passes. First reading of ordinance 4.15 passes by vote of 7-2-0. Next is ordinance 16-2013, amended ordinance concerning the acquisition of construction improvements by the City of Vincennes of its sewage works.
All right, move we have first reading of ordinance 16-2013 amended.
Second. Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to have first reading of amended ordinance 16-2013.
Amended ordinance number 16-2013, an ordinance concerning the acquisition, construction, and improvement by the City of Vincennes of its sewage works utility the issuance and sale of bond anticipation notes to provide interim financing and to pay the cost thereof, the issuance and sale of revenue bonds to pay the cost thereof, the collection, segregation, and distribution of the revenues of the utility, the refunding of a sewage works revenue bonds of 2002, the safeguarding of the interest of the owners of the revenue bonds and other matters connected therewith, and repealing ordinances inconsistent herewith containing sections 1 through 29. This is actually a sort of a refinancing, but Mr. Kirk and Sue Beasley are here to explain it.
Okay. First of all, I got a real quick stand out here. This past month, the Utility Services Board passed the 20-year anniversary of the USB, and I thought it was just, since I was coming tonight, I thought I'd give you all this little summary that I put together regarding why the USB was created and what has been achieved in a real summary form over the last 20 years that spanned five mayoral administrations and several city council folks that have worked with the USB over that period. And I'm not going to go in and go line by line on that, but I thought it was a good information that I shared with President Chapman last week. He suggested that it might be something that you all would have an interest in having. So be happy to answer any questions about any of that at any time. Regarding the funding or the Vincennes Sewer Department refunding bonds, Sue Beasley with Bingham, Green, Bob, and Dahl is here, and they are our legal counsel with regards to this. This action that we're requesting is a continuation of the financing that was put together to start back in mid to late 2013 to assist with the improvements that needed to be made in two areas. One was at the wastewater plant. We opened some waste tanks at a cost of about $700,000 to $800,000 in preparation for bringing on the Farvest flow at the plant. The plant was certainly large enough, and that's one of the main reasons why we were able to get the Farvest project here in our community. However, the characteristics of the flow coming into the plant required that we take a look at how the waste tanks were being operated. We actually reopened some tanks that were mothballed back in the 2002 upgrade. So what would have been a cost of somewhere between $7 and $8 million to rebuild those tanks, we were fortunate that they were still in place, but we spent, like I said, some money on that, as well as the match money that we had on that we invested in the River Road sanitary sewer relocation project that was done and completed about that same time. So those two things together caused us to spend $1 million on the wastewater plant facilities, we at that time we came to you and you all approved a bond anticipation note to pay for those improvements. And now, and we said that at some point we would come back with a bond, either a new bond to pay that off or a bond refinancing of our existing debt. And that's what we're doing here. The second sheet that I passed out there is a summary of what this accomplishes for us. And basically, it will pay off the bond anticipation note that we took out to do those improvements of the $1 million. It will also provide an annual improvement in our cash flow, meaning a lowering of the payment on our sewer debt of approximately $400,000 per year, which will allow us to repay KCDC that amount without hurting our existing cash flow at the sewer department. As you all remember, the agreement was made between the utility and KCDC that KCDC would fund the infrastructure construction of the sewer, the sanitary sewer facilities for the industrial park upgrade, and then we would pay them back over a period of time. And this is in keeping with that. We are taking advantage of a slightly lower interest rate, which is always a good thing, and, you know, we never know how long that's going to stay in place. Right now, our debt is at 3.3%, and we think this will come in somewhere around 3.1. And this action tonight does not involve any kind of customer rate increase at all for 2015. So once again, we're able to say that we will not have a rate increase in 2015. We're working with Pro Harvest, is our financial advisor on this. They've been involved with the department and with our sewer and water bonding for many, many years. Piper Jaffray and Bingham Greenbaum and Dahl. If there's specific technical questions about the document itself, I know Councilor Rolligan has reviewed this in working with Sue Beasley, and that's our request. Be happy to answer any questions about any of this.
Kirk, tell them that you need this passed tonight, don't you?
Well, a couple of, one thing, and I know because of the way we're structured, our utility services board meetings meet in public, and we talk about some of the same things that when we have to come and talk to you. So it's like it's being talked about twice. But the utility services board did approve this action unanimously at their meeting last Wednesday. However, as you all know, they can only recommend actions with regards to rates or debt, and that's why we're here with that recommendation. The other thing is the existing bond anticipation note comes due in early March, and we've just been working with the various advisors to get to this point where we're ready to make this recommendation, and we really need to have this done by the first part of March, so we're kind of up against it for the timeline. And I talked to Mr. Rolligan and Mr. Chatton about the possibility of getting this approved in one meeting. But that's your prerogative to talk about that.
And I did, after meeting with Kirk, then did send a note to the council Friday, I think it was, indicating that that would be what is being requested by the utility services board. And so there are two alternatives, as I outlined in that email, and that is to we can adopt this on first and second reading tonight before we then go to third reading, and we have to suspend the rules. If we did not get two-thirds vote to suspend the rules, then I would be calling a special meeting on Friday. So council has, you know, options on how they want to deal with that. But either way, we need to make a final decision, as you said, prior to the March. So, but basically what you're saying is it's all, in terms of doing this, it's all the benefit of the financial health of the utility and to pay its obligations, one of which is KCD says to pay obligations to replace that sewer line down here along the right levee that we have to do. And at the same time, as you said, it doesn't affect anyone's rates. So
no.
It's take advantage of the lower interest rate. So in my mind, at the meeting occurred, it sounds like something that we should take advantage of. So.
I'm assuming the reason that came this late, you had to wait till see what your board did first, and then once they came to the decision, then that's why you're here. And
well, the time, I mean, our board could have met at any time. It basically, it just took to this point,
right,
to get all our ducks in a row, so to speak.
This isn't something, since we're not dealing with rates and that sort of thing, that would trigger public hearings. This doesn't have any public hearing
component. There's no public hearing.
Go ahead. Thank you.
I mean, the benefit for the department, I don't see why we couldn't do to get it done tonight.
I mean, that would be my hope. I'm telling you, the weather will be Friday. Okay, well then, if there's no further discussion, I would call the question on first reading.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
First reading of the minute, order 16-2013, passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mr. Mayor, move we have second reading, ordinance 16-2013, minute.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to have second reading of amended ordinance 16-2013.
Amended ordinance number 16-2013, omitting formal parts containing sections 1 through 29 for the sewage works financing.
Discussion?
Call the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Second reading of amended ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, I move that we suspend the rules to allow it for third reading.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Brown, to suspend the rules and have third reading of ordinance amended 16-2013.
Call the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Suspended the rules by a vote of 7-0.
Mr. Mayor, we have third reading of ordinance 16-2013 amended.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have third and final reading of amended ordinance 16-2013.
Amended ordinance 16-2013 concerning construction and improvement by the city for the sewage works containing sections 1 through 29.
Discussion.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And third and final reading of amended ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0. Moving on next.
Thank you very much. And I would say one other thing unrelated to this topic, but Tracy Klinkenbeerview, I think, has left, but with the solid waste. They also do a great job for us in assisting with our MS4 education in the classroom. We have a requirement based on the MS4 program to educate the young people about pollution and some of those things in our waterways, and we have a contract with them, and they do a great job. It saves us money from having to have our own education. So I just thought I'd mention that. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Next is claims.
I move we approve claims totaling $467,750.50.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to pay the claims in the amount of $467,750.50.
Second.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
I don't think it works.
I think.
Nothing on the miscellaneous?
Nothing on the motion, please?
7:24.